I'm speaking today with State Representative Alma Allen, who represents the 131st District here in Harris County. Representative, you've been in the legislature now since 2004. Tell me how the experience has been for you.
Oh, it's been a wonderful experience. We've had an opportunity to do a lot for our constituents, some differences that we've made since we've been there, and I'm quite proud of the things we've done for this community, particularly the three management districts that we have, which makes the community a much better place to live. They are growing. Those management districts are growing. Lots of good things have happened. I have enjoyed the experience.
Talk to me a little bit about what you personally have accomplished in the legislature, what you're proud of, what you like to point to.
First of all, I want to point to those management districts, because I am very, very proud of those, because as you look in the community, you know that there is a lot of need and a lot of need for businesses and a lot of need for to improve the community. But let me tell you about some of the other bills that I have authored that I'm really proud of, and one is the autism bill. The autism bill simply says the insurance companies will pay for kids who have autism for their schooling, their education, and their physical needs up until the age of 5. That was the old bill. And then we extended that to the age of 10. Not that children stop being autistic at the age of 10 or at the age of 5, but the compromise between the insurance companies, well, you know, we'll go to 10, and then we'll maybe go to next time we'll go a little further. But we want to work with that when we go back to session so that we can move it up. We're going towards 18 and even 21.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, from the view of someone who was not there, the last legislative session looked pretty awful.
Yes.
What's your perspective on it? Anything good come out of the last legislative session, or was it as bad as most of us Democrats seem to think it was?
It was bad. It was bad. It was a challenging session, to say the most. For us, it was kind of mean spirited even. Lots of bad legislation came out of the last session. You know about the school budgets being cut. $9.5 billion cut off a school budget, and we just today went to the HISD state of the schools, and we heard about the massive cuts that they had to endure, $700 million, which took away some teachers from schools, took away programs, took away just the day-to-day operation of schools. So, but teachers rise to the occasion, but we're hoping next time we go back, we're able to put some of those funds back into schools. Some of the other cuts that came out was Medicare, that really put some doctors, hospitals, and private practitioners in some really bad positions, because now that they have Medicare, if a person is dual qualified for Medicare and Medicaid, then that means that the doctor or the hospital doesn't get paid much, or some don't get paid at all to service the patients, and those patients aren't allowed to pay a copay, which really means that in the rural areas and in small towns, even in big hospitals, some doctors are even opting to close their practices. Some are opting to not serve certain patients, and so that has really put a crunch on the system. Many other things came out because it was a session where 1,500 bills were filed and 700 bills went through to the governor's office. So it was kind of a session that I don't think any one of us will forget that session.
You mentioned schools. You were just named to the, I don't have the full name off the top of my head, but the Joint Committee on basically looking at what to do with school finance,
yes.
Speaker Strauss and Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst named.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about this and what your expectations are for that committee.
It's a joint committee between the Senate and the House. And I expect that when we sit down at the table, we will probably look at what is really costing us to educate our children. I hope that we will look at the lack of funding that we have had through the years. Texas has really fallen down in doing its part for educating its children, kind of almost leaving it up to the districts too. And we make lots of mandates, but we don't fund the mandates that we make. And so I'm hoping that we realistically look at the monies we have and decide that we're going to put our children first, that we're going to educate our population. In the state of Texas, 51% of our population is functionally illiterate, and so that has to change. And so we really have to look at education in a different way and more seriously.
You can't talk about school finance, though, without talking about the tax system.
Absolutely.
In 2006, the last time there was a lawsuit decided by the Supreme Court, that led to the property tax cut and the margins tax, which was supposed to pay for that, but pretty much didn't.
Yeah, right.
What do you think is going to happen with, what realistically can happen with the tax system?
Well, I think that we really have to go out after those businesses that are not paying their fair share of the taxes. And so I don't know that you know this, but the state of Texas granted a one-month delay in starting school so that businesses could earn money. I'd say, for example, the kids would be traveling more. The Astral Worlds would be open. Six Flags over Texas, so more money could be made. But that money was not loopholes in that some businesses are not paying their fair share of the taxes. I hope we are in a position to close those loopholes. I hope the governor will think more about using the rainy day funds for paying for education and that our priorities our children, our elderly, our poor, those are the people that we need to be thinking about during this session.
I mean, there are, of course, in another round of lawsuits, another group wanting to join at least one group of charter school proponents.
Yeah.
What do you expect? Do you have any expectation for what the Supreme Court will do this time around and how the legislature is going to have to deal with it?
No, I don't have expectations. You never know what's going to happen in the courts. But I think the mere fact that we file the lawsuit will get their attention. We do need to emphasize the fact that we do need to put into education more money. So it has to be given serious thought. And I think sometimes when you file a lawsuit, people have a tendency to take you more seriously. So I'm glad it's there. I have no idea what the courts will rule. I'm hoping that they will think about children. I hope that they will think about educating the populace. I hope they'll think about Texas and its future 30 years from today. Where are we going to be without an educated populace?
You know, there's some people who are saying, we've been spending all this money on public schools. Mm-hmm. The amount has gone up and up and up. More than the rate of enrollment has gone up.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we need to keep spending more money on public schools?
We do. I'm an educator. I came from the public school system. I taught in HISD for 14 years, and I was assistant principal for one, principal for 16. The monies were never there. I remember my last budget when I was principal. The budget was $20,000 for 800 kids, $20,000, which means that a teacher could have a box of paper and maybe some decoration for her wall and some pencils or some decorations or and that's about it when you divide it up among all of the teachers. We have never funded education to the degree that we should have. So if we need to put more money, because we are behind in putting money into school. Teachers' pay is dismal. We don't do money for our buildings. The buildings are becoming dilapidated. Children enjoy going to beautiful schools and beautiful facilities. So teachers now are not coming into education because of the lack of pay. It's a very low-paying job. Economy may drive some in, but when that's over, those people will be going out again. And the doors to education become a revolving door because people are going out, and we don't retain the people who have the experience and the education to teach our children.
You were the vice chair of the corrections committee in the last legislative session.
Yes.
talk a little bit about what the committee did and what kind of legislation came out of that.
It was a very active committee, and I rather enjoyed it, even though I had trepidations about going on that committee, because I'm an educator and my focus is keeping the children out of the system rather than dealing with the system. And so, but I learned a lot, and I had an opportunity to make some changes. And I will go with one of the bills that I passed was one where those who are incarcerated in the state institution, if they take advantage of the programs that they have for them, such as education, if you go to drug abuse programs, if you go to nonviolence programs, they have lots of programs for you to go into. And if you go in and you participate in this program, the judges have the option of taking at least 20% off of your sentence. And so that serves to as an incentive for the inmates to be model inmates, and that they can see a light at the end of the tunnel on the sentence. And so that was one of the bills that I'm proud of.
It seemed like in 2009 there were a number of bills passed related to corrections, mm-hmm. where money was being allocated for, you know, diversion, drug treatment, and other
yes.
things that were designed to, you know, get people out of jail,
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. you know, deal with them in other ways. And a lot of those things got cut in 2011
yeah.
with the budget cuts, which
yeah.
unfortunately is going to have the effect of more people in jail that
there
we'll have to
go.
Pay for.
There you go.
Any hope in 2013 of doing something about that?
Well, you know what I'm thinking? I always have hope. I have to say to you that I always have hope. But let me say to you, when we go back to session, I don't know what the economy is going to be like. I'm hoping that things are turning around and we see things turning around, that there's a little more money there, and that there will be money for the corrections programs. Because we had some programs that were doing well, and some of those programs got cut. And so I'm hoping. I'm always hopeful about what's coming up in the future.
In also in 2009, current House Speaker Joe Strauss
mm-hmm.
Was elected Speaker largely on the support of Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
After the 2011 session, are there any regrets about that?
No, not on my part. We have to wait and see every session or who's coming to the forefront. But on my report, I have no regrets, and I can't speak for the others.
Okay. As we speak today, it has just been decided a couple of days ago what the legislative and congressional maps are going to look like, and
mm-hmm.
we're going to have a primary on May 29th.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by the time I run this, anything may have changed. But
yeah.
what's your opinion of the legislative maps that the San Antonio court ultimately drew?
Well, it took a long time, and when the delay was bittersweet, you know, couldn't get things going and couldn't plan. But on the maps in the court, while we might not be totally satisfied, we do have to run a race. We have to have a map at some point. And so we'll work with the people that we are given, as we have worked with our constituents through the last 8 years since I've been on. But and with the maps being drawn now, we'll work with the ones that we're given. We are concerned about people. And we have worked in our community with our people. And so they know us. They know what we do. We're just going to get on with the program of representing people.
The 2011 session was in many ways tough on women. just recently, the word came down that the Women's Health Program is going to be terminated because of a dispute between the state of Texas and the Obama administration over, funding for Planned Parenthood. What's your opinion on this?
I'm always amazed. I'm always amazed that women health issues such as abortions even on the agenda. You know, I am of the opinion that a woman has the right to make a choice about her body and what she does with her body. And so I really hate to see those funds cut. Planned Parenthood is an organization that works with women health issues. It's just not a clinic that does abortions. I think there's a bad perception out there about what Planned Parenthood does. And so it's amazing, like I said before, it's amazing to me that when we talk about women's issues, that we're talking about abortion, or what a woman has a right to do with her body and the decisions that they make. Those decisions should be made between a woman, her mate, and her family. And Planned Parenthood should stay and do what they're doing, because they do great health work for women.
I mean, as I recall, there was, during the 2011 session, there was actually quite a bit of unrest among some of the female members of the House. There was some stuff that had been going on.
Yes.
Your colleague, Representative Thompson, formed a House Women's Caucus, as I recall. I mean, you know, is there disrespect in the House towards the female members?
Well, you have to take it on an individual basis. Now, I have not had that disrespect, but I, you know, it's there, so we have to recognize it. And so we are going to have a active women's caucus this next time around when we go back, because we do have to demand the respect that a woman should be given, even though we're in the House there with the majority of the legislators are male. There is a certain respect that anybody is due, not only because you're a woman, but because you are a woman, because we are women, and we are going to demand the respect that we should have as women and professionals and as legislators.
Okay. Just to bring things back to your district, you talked about the management districts in 131. What are the other priorities in District 131 that you hope to address in 2013?
Business. Bringing businesses into the community, and that's what management districts do. They bring businesses into the community. They bring development into the community. We would like to have more senior housing in the community. We need homes for the people who cannot afford homes and housing, and so we would like to see that done. This community is one of the historically underserved communities. We need streets, roads repair. We need a lot of that. It's a community that has suffered for a long time. But you have to also go to the extremes of my district. My district goes as far as A Leaf to the west, and it goes all the way to on Bellway 8. It goes all the way to Telephone Road, and the new district passes that, and it goes a little bit three precincts towards Pasadena. So we have a very diverse district from one end to the other of the spectrum, and many of those in between are the poor, the indigent. On the extreme, we go all the way up to some very affluent neighborhoods. So there is a very diverse population that we serve, and so we have diverse needs in this district.
Do you think the legislature is going to revisit the issue of redistricting in 2013?
I don't know. I really don't know. The 2013 will probably bring its own set of problems, and if we get in, many people may just get to like the district they have. But it may also call for a review, just in case that the numbers don't reflect and give everybody an opportunity to have representation. If it cuts down on the number of African American seats that we're going to have, we may ask for a review. If the Hispanics are not equally represented or fairly represented, we may ask for a review. It really depends on what comes out in the next legislative session, what's there when we get back to the table. We are going to demand fairness on the part of for everybody.
You served on the State Board of Education before you ran for the legislature. Your son is now in
12 years.
Your son is now in the seat that you had before. Mm-hmm. You know, the State Board of Education has been kind of notorious lately for some of the things they've engaged in with textbooks and science standards and history standards and so on and so forth. You know, does the legislature need to exert more oversight over the State Board of Education? Maybe trim what it does.
Well, I want you to keep in mind that the State Board of Education is an elected body, too. So one elected body cannot eradicate another elected body. So there's no, like, eradicating the State Board of Education.
The legislature can define what the State Board does.
Yes, you can gradually take things away till almost they're just sitting there having coffee when they meet. And they've done that. Over the 12-year period, I was there for 12 years. Over the 12-year period that I was there, they gradually took things away, things that the board could do. I don't know that there's very much they could strip them off now. So they only have one or two things left that they can do. And so what we need to do, I don't think we do need to eliminate or take away. I think you just need people on the board who really care about children, who care about all children in the state of Texas, who put education in the forefront and the education of all children in the forefront, who understand that the state of Texas will not be the great state of Texas if we don't have an educated workforce and if our children are not educated, even if adults are not educated, that we need someone there who understands that. And so you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You elect people who will represent you well.
Yeah. Currently, the voter ID law that was passed was under review by the Justice Department. Mm-hmm. Now it's under litigation.
Mm-hmm.
How concerned are you that this will take effect, and how concerned are you that it will have an adverse effect on your voters and voters elsewhere in the state?
It will, and it is designed to do that. It will have an adverse effect. It is designed to do that. But let me tell you, we are busy out educating our people. Every time I get an opportunity to have a meeting, two or three in the corner is fine. If I have a civic club, I address every civic club that I have on the new voter ID law, and even going to a university tomorrow to address the class on it. I address churches. We are all educating. Our congressman has been out working to educate. We are educating our people. We've learned to jump through hurdles before. This is not the first hurdle where you try to take away the voting rights of the people, and I do say take away the voting rights of the people, particularly minorities. And so we've been through those hurdles. We've been through the how many bubbles in a bar of soap. We've been through how many beans in the jar. We've been through do you own land? Can you read this passage? We've been through that. This is just another hurdle, and we will jump over this hurdle.
Okay. And now that we finally have a primary date again.
Yes.
assuming that nothing changes between now and then, you do have a primary opponent this year. When people go to vote, why should they vote to give you another term in the state legislature?
Because we've done some good things in the legislature, and we want to continue those in the legislature. I have a 100% voting record for labor. I want to, and labor did endorse me. I want to, people to know that we have these bills that we've done, and I did not mention a couple of bills that we have. I did the bill that ratified the 24th Amendment of the Constitution of the United States, speaking of voter ID, where poll tax was still on the books. I did the ratification of that. Took me 3 sessions to do it, but I did that. This past session, we passed a bill for the handicapped, those who are blind or handicapped and go from city to city to work and want to ride the transportation or take advantage of all of the transportation modes that are in one city when they go from city to city, much like the handicap tag that we have on our cars when we can park in anywhere in the state of Texas. We want to go back and do a bill. This session, we did a bill that allows them to call in 72 hours in advance to another city and say, I'm coming to your city. Can you provide me with transportation? I would like to see a bill that establishes some kind of tag, much like the blue tag that we have, or somewhere on the license, the driver's license that says, I can access transportation, and it goes from city to city to city. That is my next bill. I need to go back and complete that. I need to go back and complete my autism bill. I need to go back and add management districts to our community. There are many things we need to do. I cherish the fact that I'm on the Education Committee and that I'm on the Corrections Committee. We need to go back and we need to deal with education. There are so many things that we need to do in education. I'd like to continue that. This past year, I served as Vice Chair of Corrections. So those things come with seniority from being there over a period of time. I'd like to keep that seniority going. A new candidate coming in will not have that seniority and will not get those opportunities to be on those committees, or will have a vice chair when they get there. So for that reason, I'd like to go back and represent the people of the District 131 again. There are just so many things that we need to do.
All right, Representative Alma Allen, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you.